For NPR Illinois, I'm Mary Hansen. When glow-in-the-dark watches became popular in the 1920s, the Radium Dial Company in Ottawa, Illinois, hired young women to detail them with radium-laced paint. Many ended up dead from exposure to the toxic element. For Illinois Issues, writer Tara McClellan McAndrew shares some of their stories. I talked with her to find out more.
Peg Looney was a young girl from Ottawa, Illinois. She was one of the so-called dial painters who were trained to take the brush and dip it in the paint and then point it with their lips, thus ingesting radium. She was 17 when she started working for the Radium Dial Company. She became sick, like many of the dial painters did, and she died at the age of 24 from radium poisoning, although the company did not acknowledge that.
You talked with Peg Looney's niece, Darlene Holm, who still lives in Ottawa. Here she is talking about her aunt bringing some of the radium paint home.
Sometimes she would take her younger siblings into the bedroom that they all shared, and they would go in there in the dark, and they would paint their fingernails and their lips and their eyebrows and then laugh because they glowed in the dark.
How much did the company know at the time about what radium was doing to the women who were working in their factories, and were they ever held accountable?
According to Kate Moore's book, the Radium Dial Company in Ottawa knew the women were sick, a couple of them in particular. They had started having their own company doctors do physical examinations of the women in 1925 after some of them had become ill, and the women had tested positive for radiation. But that fact was kept from the women. Peg Looney was told by the company after she had tests by the company doctor showing that she tested positive for radiation, she was told that she was healthy. And when she collapsed at work years later from being so sick from radiation, she was taken to the company doctor's hospital. She was separated from her family. Her family was not allowed to see her in the hospital, and she died. The company was going to bury her, and the family had to intervene and say, no, we want to give her a Catholic funeral. And the company did an autopsy, agreed to have a family doctor there. When the family doctor arrives for Peg Looney's autopsy, the autopsy's already been done. The family was told that she died from diphtheria and later found out that, no, it was radiation poisoning.
Peg Looney's family tried to sue the company over her exposure to radium, but they couldn't find a lawyer to represent them. Several years later, another group of women who worked at the radium dial plant tried again. Who took their case?
There was a lawyer named Len Grossman from Chicago, and he took their case. Len Grossman Sr. was very interested in workers' rights, and he sympathized with the women and agreed to take their case, and he did so for free. The women came from very poor families. They could not afford a lawyer, and they were already paying exorbitant medical costs.
Len Grossman Jr., you got a chance to talk with him. He's also a workers' rights lawyer, or had been a workers' rights lawyer for 30 years, and he talked about his father's commitment to these families.
This case was a pinnacle of his professional accomplishment. He felt very strongly about the women, especially the Donahue family. They were strong people. They gathered together when he called them together and formed the Society of the Living Dead, which was a sort of a self-support group that they had. It was just a totally emotional involvement, from what I understand.
So what happened with that case? How did that case finally end?
It ended well. He argued before the Illinois Industrial Commission, and he won the case. In his brief, he was very melodramatic, and he talked about one of them, Catherine Donahue, and described her illnesses. He said, "Rigors, fevers, and terror worse than the Chamber of Horrors have dimmed her life. What of her necrotic, crumpled jawbone, spongy, moth-eaten, typical of radium poisoning, her wasted, shrunken body, 71 pounds, her radioactive malignancy of the hip, rigid, her blood and marrow bombarded by radium." Unfortunately, the company had, in essence, hidden their assets. So the amount of money was a pool of money that was available. There wasn't a lot for the women. So while the women won, it was in some ways a shallow victory. And of course, they died. For the families that did win, at least it helped pay for some of the just horrible medical expenses the women had incurred.
Why is this story about women who died these horrific deaths decades ago important for people to know now?
I asked that question of Kate Moore, the author of Radium Girls, and of Leonard Grossman Jr., the son of the man who represented the dial painters in Ottawa, and both basically said the same thing, that the Radium Girls story is a cautionary tale, that if we don't always make sure that workers' rights and safety are regulated and protected, that this could happen again.
That was Tara McClellan McAndrew, who writes about the Radium Girls for this week's Illinois Issues. It's the first of a two-part series, and you can find it now at nprillinois.org. I'm Mary Hansen.